find us on Google Plus. Just search The Generic Live Show and react. This is The Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell.
Thanks for joining us here on a Sunday. Glad you could be with us here on The Generic Live Show. Yeah, thanks for spending time with us. We're jumping into our second hour of the broadcast here. Glad to be with us. If you missed the first hour, by gosh, you missed probably, I gotta say, it was a good hour of The Generic Live Show. It felt like nothing at all, actually, now that I come to think about it. But some really, really good stuff. And the first ever burger debate will be happening next week on the show. I'm really excited about that. That is confirmed. We're going to do that live on the show. Don't know when, don't know how, but it'll be happening on the show next week. So tune in from 7 till 9 on the East Coast Sunday morning, or 9 till 11 p.m. Sunday night here on the show. And I will not mention the burger thing again, but we will be having a burger debate. It makes me so excited for stuff. Whether, actually, now that I come to think about it, messages down the line, we might record it and we might play clips on the show because of stuff that might be happening next week. But we'll see. We'll see how it pans out. Anyway, we'll put that out of our minds because we've got some more serious stuff to be talking about. Now, when it comes to politics and political statements around the world, when it comes to things that might affect you, we're going to start off the second hour, a little bit heavy-handed. And some images that might be conjured up in this segment might be a little bit graphic. They're just going to put that out there. And I'll put a warning in the podcast too about how some people might get offended by what may be portrayed in this story and the next story that I have coming up as well. But the Canadian Department of Justice, the Minister of Justice, in a statement with the Attorney General of Canada and the Minister of Health on medical assistance in dying legislation. Told you. The Honourable Jody Wilson-Raybould, in conjunction with the Minister of Health, announced and made a statement. This is 2 days ago, so that would have been on Friday. Of course, it wouldn't have been today. It's Sunday. On Friday, they announced that they were pleased that the Bill C-14, criminal legislation on medical assistance in dying, passed through Canadian Parliament. The government recognised extraordinary efforts that were made in the House of Commons and in the Senate to ensure the passing of this bill. Efforts will now ensure safe and consent access to medical assistance in dying across Canada. We are grateful in all parliaments in the hand of work in seeing this go through under such demanding circumstances. Medical assistance in dying is a complex, difficult and personal issue, according to the Minister of Justice. The legislation strikes a right balance between the personal and anonymity for those seeking access to that and protecting the vulnerable who are suffering and require this. The measures included the legislation revised the criminal code to exempt healthcare practitioners who help to provide medical assistance in dying, otherwise acceptable in criminal offences. The next step for Parliament has taken in passing this legislation is an important one, but not the last step in this journey. Health Canada will continue to work with the provisions and territories as provisions of the legislation come into force, and further study has been done to medical assistance in dying in the context of mature minors, people whom mental disability is the sole underlying condition, and advanced requests. Now, I wanted to tackle this because this has become an issue in America too, as far as I understand, or as far as conservative morning talk show will have me understand. It's become a rather large issue over there. But the issue when it comes to, well, the argument that I hear from these radio shows is that it'll become a mainstream ideology. It'll become a mainstream topic. It'll become not necessarily the cool thing to do, but it'll become, I don't want to say popular either. I can't think of the word. It'll become the norm to end your life at a particular point. Now, I'm going to get a little bit personable, or personal here on the show. My great-grandma, bless her heart, she had, she was suffering from Alzheimer's, and there was nothing that research could do for her in the at the time. And she was suffering from Alzheimer's and dementia, so both horrible things. The dementia is what ended her life in the end of all of it. But I feel like what happened here is, what happened there is that she was sent off to a home, and where trained medical staff assisted her in trying to live her daily life. Now, of course, those staff became close to her, and of course, she remembered who they were, because they were not living with her, but keeping a close eye on her, particularly in her final days. And I feel like, and it was up to her, she wanted to go peacefully. But you got to think, she had, for lack of a better term, if we want to put a label on it, she had a mental condition. And she couldn't consent. If proposed to her, she couldn't consent to have someone assist her with putting her out of her misery, so to speak. And from her own perspective, yeah, it was a misery. I mean, she, before the dementia hit, she was up and moving. She was up and around. So it's not like she was letting herself rot. I mean, even in the assistant home, you know, she was up and moving. She was out. She was up and about. She's scanning the hallways pretty much like I do here in commercial breaks. That's where I get my bounceable energy from. I'm pretty sure it's my great grandma. But I feel like it's a conversation to have, because if what happens if, and the assistance of in dying is quite a, you know, personal issue to me, particularly. That's why I pretty much put that hefty disclaimer up at the top of the show. But I feel like it's up to the family, and if it depends on which side of the family you approach. You know, if people say, you know, people who are very, very pro this, very, very kind of leftist kind of view would see this okay, and people of the right would say it's not okay. I mean, that's the state in America, but depends on where you sit on the political perspective. I mean, as a moderate myself, I'm very situational on these types of things. I'm very middle of the road, and I've always have been, and that's what being a moderate is. I mean, hell, I talked about this last week. Political spectrums don't apply to me, because in one country I'm a moderate Republican, and in the other country I quote, side with someone with left-leaning economic traditional values, unquote, which, yeah, well, that's a whole nother story. But my point is, with this conflicting mind that I have and all matter of perspectives, I feel that it kind of has this, the point I was making, it's very situational. I'm very situational on these types of things because it can be important for the person dying. I mean, the person may say no, but what type of mind are they in to say no? And that goes for anyone in hospital. I do care about people in hospital. Don't get me wrong, but I mean, according to the rules of a basic contract, if we look at law, I'm kind of on the right of this issue a little bit, you know, off to the right in this issue a little bit. I mean, if you look at the basis of a contract, the two parties involved, which would be the doctors and the ill person, heaven forbid, you know, the person who's on the brink of death, they are dying and they are not in the right state of mind to consent to this contract. It'll have to go to the next in kin. The logical step would be the next in kin would then say whether they want the person to suffer, to continue dying, or to have an assistant suicide, to lack of a better term. Well, that's the case in the US. I don't know how Canada has set it up, but in California, states like California, I know that that's how it's being proposed. But that it goes to the next in kin, who might do something for their benefit. I mean, it's not their fault. They're a human. They have their objectives. So that might not suit the objectives of the person who's actually involved, the ill person. That might not be their objectives. So they're going against what they're saying, and they're kind of being objectified. That's just my perspective. I could be wrong. But that's just my personal view. But it'd be interesting to have that conversation. I'll put this statement up on my Facebook page at Dale Murray Campbell, you can see for yourself. That's facebook.com/ Dale Murray Campbell, DaleMurrayCampbell. You can see that in its full detail. I'll put the statement from the Minister of Judgment and Attorney up there. How do I talk about this next story? The one out of Kenya. All right. We're a PG show. So I'm going to straddle the PG line. I mean, well, we're pretty much a G show. I mean, we do straddle the PG line a bit. But here's the thing. In Kenya, a Kenyan judge has ruled that putting things in particular areas to determine your sexuality after complainant of torture. Yeah, there you go. Kenyan gays and other supporting cause of wearing masks to preserve anonymity, and one holds up a wrapped condom. This set the stage of a 2014 protest. Okay, whatever. A Kenyan court on Thursday upheld the use of putting things in particular areas to determine a suspect's sexual orientation, dismissing the argument that the procedure amounts to torture and degrading treatment. There was no violation of rights or the law, Mombasa High Court Judge Matthew Oh my God. Amicul said, quote, I found no violation of human dignity, right to privacy, and right to freedom, and the practitioners, he said. Two men had sought a court ruling to stop enforced examinations of these particular areas, and HIV tests accused of men of being gay after they were subjected to procedures. Two men were arrested in a bar near Akda, along Kenya's Indian coast in February 2015 on suspicions of emerging in male-to-male contact, which is a criminal offence in Kenya, I may remind people, and you can face up to 14 years in jail. Aha. Yeah, remember, being gay is a crime. So there you go. It's okay to put things in particular at a particular area, and you know, I feel like there you go. Putting things in particular areas to determine if you're gay, and see if you like it, I guess that's the point. Is that the point here? I think that's the point. Yeah, that's the point. Yep. Okay. All right. That's the point here. We're all wrapped up here. Okay. Let's move continue here on the Generic Live Show, here on a Sunday, where it's still illegal in Kenya to be gay. Remember, just want to put that out there. Well, the election is right around the corner, and well, I got something a little bit fascinating in my mailbox. I got my official guide to the 2016 federal election, and I'll share it with you. Got to remind you that the election votes for the Senate has actually changed, to do a community service for you in a little bit. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show, here on a Sunday, thanks for joining us. It's 10:22. Live Show with Dale Campbell. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell. So glad you'll be with us here on the show. You know, we've had fun today, but I'm about to do a community service announcement. You know, here we go. There you go. Second time we've had fanfare on the show. Here we go. We're doing, it's time for your official guide to the 2016 federal election. And they remind you that voting is compulsory. Sorry, I moved away from the microphone. The Senate. All right. To vote for senators on election day for 2016, you must fill in the paper, ballot paper in order of your choice. So it's preferential voting. If you choose to vote above the line, the ballot paper is divided in half. So you've got a big line. You can vote for pretty much the party at large, or voting for the actually individual senators. You need to do at least 6 boxes in order from 1 to 6, 1 being your most preferable to 6 being your lower preferable candidate. Voting below the line, you need to at least fill in 12. So preference up to 12 candidates. House of Representatives, you need to fill in every single box in terms of preference. So, there you go. Political party logos, both the Senate and House of Representatives ballot papers will look different. Parties who have a logo registered by the Australian Electoral Commission before the issue of WITs can request to have their logo printed on ballot papers, which is weird. Why would you want to do that? Why? Okay. It has the name of the party there, so I don't know why you would do that. So I'm holding this up to the camera right now. Your House of Representatives party, let me just... Can we change to my camera, please? Thank you. The House of Representatives ballot paper will look like that. Where I'm pointing there with my finger. And, oh look, I'm orange there all of a sudden. And the Senate paper, see, this is all stuff that you should know by now, will look like that. That top half, if I may for a second, that top half there is voting above the line. That bottom one there is voting below the line. I don't know what that's... Oh, that's a... Don't worry. You can vote, you can ask for another ballot paper if you make an error. But, fun story. I wouldn't recommend that, by the way. Asking for another ballot paper. Because they're good to see who you voted for. Just a heads up. But... You could say you made a mistake and an error in voting for the candidates. Totally didn't happen to me. Not this last election, but the election before. Won't say who I voted for live on the internet, because that's fun. When is the election happening? Well, it's happening on the 2nd of July. Polling places open at 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. sharp. Polling places have also changed, so go to aec.gov.au/where... WHERE, or in any major metropolitan newspapers the day before election day. What if I can't make it? Well, if you can't make it to a polling booth on election day, you may be entitled to vote early, in person, or by post. How can I make my vote count? Well, you know, you just had that. Oh, and I'd like to remind you that voting is compulsory. How many times we get the picture that voting is compulsory? Anything else? What if I can't make it? That's already happened. Voting by post. Oh, it's already past June 20th. Actually, no, it's not past June 29th. You can go to... If you want to vote early by post, you can pick up a postal vote online at aec.gov.au/PVA. Forms are available there. And they're also available from every Australian Post outlet. The AEC must receive your application no later than the 6 p.m. on June 29th, 2016. That would be next Wednesday. Not the next Wednesday on the calendar, but the Wednesday after. So not in 4 days' time, the week after that. What else? Has my division changed? If you live in New South Wales, Western Australia, or ACT, your division may have changed. What if I can't make it? So you can either vote early or by in person or by the post. If you are outside the electorate where you are enrolled to vote, if you are more than 8 kilometres from a polling place,
are travelling,
can't leave your workplace to vote, are seriously ill, in form, or due to give birth shortly, or if you're caring for someone who is, are a patient in hospital and can't vote at the hospital, have religious beliefs that are prevent you from attending a polling place, weird, a silent elector, or have a fear for your safety, which that can happen, by the way. Stay safe out there, by the way, for people handing out how to vote cards as well. That could be, not saying any more there because I'm going to get myself in trouble. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show, here on Sunday. Well, we'll bring you. We got a terrible story out of Florida. The other terrible story, not the Orlando shooting, but we got a terrible story outside of Florida that kind of got trumped by, no pun intended, by that massacre. YouTube sensation Christina Grimmie, that kind of had the, an impact. And we've got a couple of cool little knickknacks as we continue. And I will give my full opinion on the Canyon bill, because I don't believe I did so earlier on when it came to that. My opinion on the use of tools to determine sexuality in Kenya. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday, it's 10:32. The Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show here on a Sunday. Thanks for joining us. So glad you'd be with us. Whether we're putting you to sleep or we're waking you up. So glad. I don't know what that noise was. I don't know what that noise was at all. I need sleep. Actually, no, I don't. I've actually had too much sleep. That's half the problem. Now, a story that unfortunately got overpowered. Another story in Orlando, they got overpowered by the mass shooting in the Pride nightclub. Was the shooting of ex-voice contestant Christina Grimmie, who got shot one-on-one with a gunman, who later killed himself after the brother of Christina Grimmie, his name was Marcus, tackled the victim. What is happening? I don't know what is happening with my life. There we go. The victim was Christina Grimmie, of course, but the suspect was Kevin James Lombe, 27-year-old. Here is a chief of police. He's had a rough couple of weeks. John Minna, who is reporting on this story, he has a lot more details that I can cover up, but I'm going to let him do it.
So based on our investigation thus far, it appears that a white male, 21 years of age, approached Christina Grimmie. This was after the show. There were about 120 people inside the plaza, and she was doing like a meet and greet, you know, signing autographs and selling merchandise. So this white male approached her and opened fire, striking her. Almost immediately, her brother Marcus Grimmie tackled the suspect to the ground. Shortly after that, the suspect killed himself. The suspect in this case is not from Orlando. The suspect traveled to Orlando, apparently to commit this crime, and then had plans to travel back to where he came from. What our detectives are doing right now is they're going through the suspect's cell phone and computer to see if they could find a motive for this crime. The suspect had two handguns on his person. He had two additional loaded magazines for those handguns and a large hunting knife. So there's no indication that he knew her. We're looking into that and trying to find a motive for the crime. There are no metal detectors. As far as I'm aware, the people are not patted down. I'm told that the security measures in place are that the people open their bags and the security people look inside those bags for weapons. We are taking a look at the guns right now to see where they came from. I will say that he traveled here from Florida, from another city in Florida to here, and had plans to travel back to that city. That's all I'm going to say about exactly where he's from right now.
That is Chief of Police in Orlando, John Minna. He's had a rough couple of weeks, I must say. Just a little, uncover the story a little bit more. There were about 120 people at the venue at the time of this attack. Her brother Marcus, wow. Excuse me for my gasp, wow. And people took to Twitter, by the way, want to put that out there again, for a matter of information, that... people like Blake Sheldon, I'm stunned and disgusted, quote, I'm stunned and disgusted, that heartbroken that we've all lost a sweet little girl, keeping the Christine Grammy family in my heart and mind. Justin Bieber said, concerts and meet and greets are for enjoying music and appreciating the artist. Concerts and meet and greets are not for taking an innocent person's life. Of course, Adam Levine, who was at a judge who took Christine under his wing, him and his wife, Adam Levine, was appalled. There were no words. We lost a beautiful soul with an amazing voice. Our heart and friends go out. Hearts go out to friends, family, and fans of Christina Grammy. Now, it's terrible. And his family put up a touching video on her YouTube channel today. Celebrating her life, and that just Orlando has just been ripped apart lately. Now, I want to bring up, what this aftermath has brought on. This aftermath has brought on what I can only describe as a kind of call to action when it comes to more security. At these sorts of events, to make them less kind of personable, to make them less personable, because everyone's a security risk now. When you think about it, but these people aren't meant to be celebrities. They're meant to be online personalities to give people this personal touch. And that's just what it is. Christina, who was 22, was a finalist on The Voice. It just, this is what they're calling for. Of course, VidCon, the largest video convention in the world, is due to start on June 23rd, which Grammy performed several times at. 30,000 fans to attend the sold-out event. They've made some security changes. Now, among the changes are more police officers, nearly double the security guards, metal detectors, and random bag checks. The event is known for getting hordes of screaming fans closer to their closer than ever to their favorite stars, which will limit access to their creators. Quote, previously, after panels, fans came up to give their creators gifts or letters or to ask questions and talk. Organizers of VidCon wrote in a Tumblr post outlining new security measures. Quote, this will no longer be a thing. Creators will no longer linger after panels, and the audience will no longer be allowed to approach the panelists. This sucks, obviously. We don't want to build a wall between the creators and the community, but it's unfortunately necessary. I'd hate to break it to you, people under the umbrella of Peter Mundish, personalities like Joey Graceffa and all the rest of them, will hire personal guards to keep guards of these people. I'd hate to break it to you, you don't want to build a wall, But that's exactly what you're doing. I'd hate to break it to you, and you're deservedly slow. But you know, you're deservedly so. I mean, there's no other option but to take huge considerations when it comes to this certain thing. You have to take certain measures when it comes to these sorts of tragic events. You have to kind of go, hey, something has to be done here. So that's a certain thing. And of course, Tyler Oakley went on this massive rant. The point of his rant on his YouTube channel, I don't know if any other kind of person has done this on YouTube yet, but he's the most prominent one. And Oakley basically said, you know, we should celebrate life and feel safe at the same time. As he posted on YouTube. Now, that's... You tackle that and that sort of thing. This happened, mind you, in terms of timeline, this happened before the Orlando shooting. But the two, as far as we know, are not related at this point in time, mind you. The motivation for the shooter has not been connected. Now, something that I couldn't get a chance to do in a segment earlier this hour, we were talking about some controversial laws, and I took a bit longer than needed, well, than I had originally planned for this. Just a quick little clarification in terms of what I really think. I only had time to tell the story about a Kenyan judge ruling that it's okay to put something in a particular area. Of course, I'm euphemistically saying what the Kenyan judge ruled, obviously, because we're a G2PG show. Putting things in particular areas are okay to determine a sexual, to determine someone's sexual orientation. Because you got to remember, being gay is a crime in Kenya still, and you can go to jail for up to 14 years. By the way, I don't think I mentioned that earlier, but up to 14 years now. Okay, I don't. Sat in court and cheated myself. It's so painful to try to encourage the gay community to the rights. Okay. I'm trying to see, not that I want to know visually, but I want to know what type of tools are used. But that's besides the point. The point is, now, you gotta take this from a perspective that we are talking about a country where it is still illegal to go to do these sorts of acts. Now, not knowing the details of these tests, I mean, it's hard to talk about this euphemistically, trust me. If you've got any kids in the car, look, there is for, say, the next 2 minutes. But I feel like in the Western world where homosexuality is not illegal, and of course, humans have the right to, well, I believe, as a holistical approach to the world, people have the right to be who they are. And that is not the case in Kenya. That's because of their strong beliefs. It's the same in the third world countries. It's the same in Vanuatu. It's the same in all manner of places that it's wrong to be homosexual because of the beliefs of that society. Can you change the beliefs of society? Sure. I mean, women had no rights. I mean, they still have no rights in these parts. But you got to think in the first what we determine the first world and the third world. The women had no rights, but they do now because we worked. People stood up and activated. They set up activist groups. Yeah, they set up activist groups to stand up for their rights. You know, they say we're people too, and we deserve to be treated humanely. But the clear LGBT. QIWFZ community in Kenya exists because this wouldn't be a news story otherwise. First of all, second of all, I just believe that it's it wouldn't be a news story otherwise if there wasn't a strong stance. They're letting this happen by just sitting there and doing nothing, by the way. So you kind of have it both ways. So, I mean, if it's still illegal, you have to do something in terms of either punishment or to determine that someone is guilty. You know, due process of law, my friends. If someone is guilty of committing a crime, you have to prove the fact that they're guilty. I'm sorry, but that's just the case. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show, here on Sunday... Well, you know what today is, though? It's the third Sunday of June. So it is Father's Day everywhere else except for Australia. My eyebrows are raised for those people who aren't watching, who are on podcast. It's 10:50. Waking you up or putting you to sleep. This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell. Thanks for joining us here on a Sunday. That's right, whether we're waking you up or putting you to sleep. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show. It's been fun, you know, it's been a good broadcast. It has felt like nothing at all today, let me tell you. No, thank you so much for joining us, and we will promise we will have a burger debate. I will make it happen. I don't know how, but it will happen. I'll make it happen. You know, it's literally me eating a bunch of hamburgers. I hope everyone realizes this. So I don't know how I'm going to make it happen, but it will happen. But moving on from that, happy Father's Day, everyone. Happy Father's Day to everyone except for people in Australia, because Australia is weird, excuse me, and has to have a whole heap of weird dates for things. But that's okay. We love Australia just the way it is. But Google helps kids. This is a feel-good story of the day. Google helps kids send videos to their dads in prison for Father's Day. Maya, who is 9 years old, says, "When you come home, Dad, I want..." stopped, put her hands on the face, and is unable to continue. Maya, whose father is on a 25-year sentence in a California prison, was one of the many children who was unable to send her incarcerated parent a video thanks to the effort by Google called Love Letters. Created with a non-profit organization, Pops the Club and Place for Grace, the campaign helps children reach out for their fathers in prison as well as shine a light on the human tolls of mass incarceration. Google partners with criminal justice groups in a similar effort to help children send their letters to their mums in prisons for Mother's Day. The Mountain View, California-based owner of YouTube worked with the California Department of Corrections to have a really slow website that is really, really slow. Are you kidding me? Here we go. Mass incarceration is a problem in the United States. A country that represents 5% of the world's population holds 25% of the world's prison population. And here is the audio from that, hopefully, from that from that video, and it'll make your heart absolutely melt. Here is that audio, hopefully.
Dear Dad.
It's been 8 years since I saw you last.
I want to express myself to you. I haven't done it in a long time.
I just wanted to tell you how much I love and miss you.
It's been really hard growing up without a father for so much of my life.
Home, Dad. I want...
I want you to see me graduate next year.
Going to attend college in the fall.
I got elected for school to go to a baseball game and throw out the first pitch.
I can't wait for you to be out here and for us to try to make up the past 13 years.
First thing I want to do with you when you get home is play basketball. I just want to hang out and talk to you.
Hearing your motorcycle, I miss that, so like when I hear other motorcycles come down the street, it's like, ugh.
Happy Father's Day, Dad.
Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day, Dad.
Happy Father's Day, Dad.
Your one and only baby girl.
Powerful stuff there. Yeah, make it a good Sunday. Make it, yeah, spend some time with your kids. Make it wonderful. That's every day with kids should be. You know, I don't have children, but one day I'll have children. You know, it's powerful stuff. Can't beat the relationship that you have with a child. I mean, I've babysitted a become a kind of a strange, weird, gay uncle to many a kid. Not strange in that way, but just estranged, if you will. Thanks so much for joining us here on GLS for a Sunday. Make it a great week, and spend it with your family this week. Make it wonderful. Make it valuable. It's 11 o'clock.
This has been a Chef Wanda Media production. For more, visit chefwandamedia.net. Delivered fresh to your ear holes. Copyright 2016.
This has been a podcast of the Geek.io Media Network, where you put your geek in and geek out. For more geeky goodness, head over to geek-io.net. Copyright 2016.